Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Keep listening and hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or a troublesome passage or some particular issue you're discussing and can't quite get a handle on, why, we'd love to get a call from you right now at 1-800-677-9377. That's 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher, who hopefully can speak better than me today anyway.
Well, the Basic Gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the greatest news that's ever been given to man, the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that he's alive today, and he's living in us. And that's the truth, that's the reality that enables us to face every situation with a measure of confidence and hope. It's not that we have to face it alone. It's not that we have to figure it out alone or power through it with our own strength and effort. The fact is that we have Jesus Christ living inside of us, that he encourages us, he comforts us, he assures us that we are loved, that we are his, and we can sense his presence. And with that, there's hope, there's wisdom, there's the power to take the steps necessary. It's called resurrection power. Yeah. And that is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul can say in Philippians, be anxious for nothing. There's no need to be anxious. We have Jesus Christ living inside of us. We have his truth. We have his wisdom. We have his life, his power, everything right there. All of his resources right at our beck and call. So we don't have to be anxious for anything. We can simply, when life gets tough, appeal to him. Thank him for who he is. Offer up our prayers and supplications, knowing that he's big enough to work all things together for good. And when we realize that, we're going to experience peace that transcends all understanding, a peace that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Boy, that's fantastic, isn't it, to know great that. Truth. Yeah. But to apply it and to really see it in effect or in everyday life, it's just mind-boggling, but it can happen. Yeah. And that's what we want to talk about on today's broadcast. 1-800-677-9377. If you're having anxious moments about life, if you're having emotional pain, other trials and tribulations that you're going through, and you want to know how the Basic Gospel intersects with you and can give you hope, call today. We would love to hear from you. Again, that number, 1-800-677-9377.
And the lines are wide open right now, so we would love to hear from you.
Well, let's go to Johnson, Rhode Island, and talk with Paul, listening to us on WARV. Hi, Paul.
Hello, gentlemen. My question is about the Trinity.
Paul, could we get you to speak up a little louder for us, please?
Yes, my question is about the Trinity. The Trinity are all equal, and they are all the same as far as power goes, correct?
That would be correct, yes.
When someone passes, when someone goes home, is there one person of the Trinity who's more powerful than the other in that? Is the Father more powerful, or are they all the same?
Well, they're all the same. I mean, God is one, manifested in three distinct persons, and each of those had different roles, so to speak, different functions, as we see in the Word of God. Jesus Christ inhabited a body and became that sin offering. He humbled himself. That was what he chose to do. He chose to carry out the will of the Father on behalf of you and me, and he took upon himself the sins of the world. He died, and then he was raised back to life. But as far as that resurrection is concerned, we see in Scripture that in one place it says God raised him from the dead. We see where he says that no one takes his life. If he lays it down, he can pick it up again. So he had that same power. We also see that in the Spirit of God, that He has the power of resurrection. So they have equal power because they're one, but they serve different functions. The function of the Holy Spirit is to take the things of the Lord Jesus, to make them known to us. And as we come to grips with this good news of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, our hearts respond to that by faith, then we are brought near to the Father. We can experience a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son that is made real to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense to you, Paul? So as far as when somebody dies, we're going to be in the presence of God, but we're going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. We're going to be in the presence of God's Spirit. All of that will be even more clear to us at that point in time.
Okay, thank you very much, then.
You're welcome, Paul. Thanks for your call.
Yes,
indeed. We appreciate it.
1-800-677-9377. Lots of time on the clock. Lots of open lines available. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Melissa in El Paso, Texas, listening to us on KELP. Hi, Melissa.
Hi. I have a question. If you could point me to what the Bible says about requirements or things like that for pastors or elders, and specifically if a pastor that's leading a church is getting a divorce.
Well, there's certainly several different places in the Word of God that give the requirements for deacons and for bishops or overseers. For example, 1 Timothy chapter 3, the overseer or the bishop or the pastor must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. So those are basically the criteria for someone serving in that particular capacity. If someone is a pastor and they're going through a divorce right now, I think that signals a time in that person's life where they need some input, they need some guidance, they need some help in that particular situation. And, you know, during that help, they may step aside from their role as a pastor. I don't think that certainly prohibits them from picking that back up at a future point in time. But I think somebody, the elders or deacons or a group of leaders within the church would want to come alongside the pastor and work with him through that particular situation. Does that make sense to you, Melissa? I mean, we need to treat these types of situations with the grace that has been given us. You know, there might be reasons that a divorce is taking place that need to be dealt with. Divorce usually is just the culmination of a lot of other problems that have been going on for a long time. And they may be the pastor's problems. They may be the pastor's wife's problems. So it would take a group to come alongside the pastor and say, let's work through this. Let's bring everything all issues to the table. Let's talk about them. Let's talk about how you got to where you are, what the proper steps are from this point forward. And I think if it's done correctly, it can be a very beneficial process, not only for the pastor, but for the church group at large.
Okay. And could I ask another question?
Certainly.
About a little bit of a different topic, just like God's purpose for someone, I guess, being in a church group? Like, what does he have in mind for the purpose of that?
But somebody being involved in a church group?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry if my question doesn't make sense. But, I guess, like, you know, why would he have us join a church group? And what is his idea in mind specifically for us in that?
Well, Melissa, that's a great question, and that really gets to, I think, the heart and soul of the gospel message. One, when we come to Christ, what that does is connects us to God the Father, so that now there's a relationship. Before you knew Christ, there wasn't a relationship. You were separated from God. You were dead in sin, but now you've been made alive together with Christ, and you have this new relationship with God through Jesus. But more than that, you've been added to the body of Christ. You have joined a group of people who have been saved just like you have been saved, by grace, through faith. And it's those people who make up the body of Christ, or what the Bible calls the church. So you're automatically joined to them. And it just makes sense to have fellowship with those that you have been joined to by God's grace. And we have fellowship with those in what we call local assemblies. And the Bible says don't forsake the assembling together one with another. Why? We need each other. We're on a common journey. We've been put on that journey by God's love and grace. And we need to encourage one another and stimulate one another to good deeds and to faith in Jesus Christ. So that's God's purpose for us being a part of a local group of believers, whether that group is five people in size or 5,000 people in size. That doesn't matter. He just wants us to be connected one with another to experience that fellowship that we have in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that would normally be kind of like a like-minded group of people, a group of people you can connect with and make connections and friendships with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And you grow together. See, you know, God loves us and he's poured love out into our hearts. Well, you have to express that love to other people. And one of the places that we get to express that love is within fellowship groups, within church groups. We get to love each other in those particular situations, and we get to receive love back. And so it's important for us to be involved in that, have an outlet to express the love of God to others. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you so much. That answers a lot for me.
Well, you're welcome, Melissa. Great question. Certainly appreciate your call today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. You hold the line, and we'll get it to you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
And friends, if you'd like to get a copy of The Hurt and the Healer, it can be yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Just simply go online to basicgospel.net. You can't miss the link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net. Request your copy, make your gift. That's again at basicgospel.net. Or you can call and request yours by phone at 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Again, 1-800-727-2828. The Hurt and the Healer by Andrew Farley and Bart Millard. Yours for a gift right now of any amount to Basic Gospel.
Let's go to Worcester, Mass. And talk with Brian, listening to us on WVNE. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Okay. My question is, I have a coworker, and he goes to a Pentecostal church. And him and I were talking yesterday, and he told me that, he asked me that my church teaches the Trinity. And I said, yes, it does. He said, that's not true, that you won't find it anywhere in the Bible. And when I asked him, I said, okay, where does it say that it's not true? Because I'm about to believe that the Father, Son, and Spirit are all one. He said, well, you just won't find it anywhere in the Bible.
Well, you're not going to find the word Trinity in the Bible. And that's probably what he's referring to. You can't find the word Trinity in a single verse in the Bible. But you can see the reality of the Trinity in lots of different places. At Jesus' baptism, we hear the voice of God the Father. We see the Spirit descending upon Jesus like a dove, and there's Jesus Christ himself. We see that at the Mount of Transfiguration as well. We see it in various passages in the New Testament where Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are mentioned. Jesus Christ himself, when he gathered the disciples and gave them authority to carry out the work that that he had called them to. He said, go out and baptize all nations and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't say Trinity, but we see the three in one right there. And so that's what the Bible reveals. I'm assuming that he's in a church that is Jesus only. Don't believe in a spirit or a father, just Jesus himself. But I don't think that's what the Word of God reveals at all.
No, I don't think it is either.
Well, keep talking to them, showing them various passages. I said Matthew chapter 28, you'll see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 17 at the Transfiguration, at the baptism, in Matthew chapter 3, 1 John chapter, 5, verse 7, shows the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit as well. So there's numerous passages in the Word of God that reveal to us what we have labeled the Trinity.
Okay.
Yeah,
because, I've been believing that for a long time, that, it is the Trinity. They are one. Before I became a believer, I didn't believe it, but now I do.
Well, it's one of those concepts and truths that is very hard for us to understand. We have things in nature that, would help us understand. Like somebody brought up the other day, the idea of water. Water can be in the form of ice, in the form of steam, or in the form of a liquid. It's all the same, isn't it? But we see it in three different forms, and that's basically what God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are. It's one nature, one essence, but manifested in three distinct persons with three distinct functions.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
I hope that helps. Hey, good question today,
Brian.
Definitely.
Yes, thank you. Thanks a lot. God bless.
God bless you as well. Thanks for your call. Let's go to John in Pittsburgh, listening to us on KCBC. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
I had a question about Acts chapter 8, and it was concerning Philip when he went to the Samaritans and preached the gospel to them. It said in Acts chapter 8 that they heeded that they saw the signs that Philip did, and they heeded the things that he had spoken concerning the gospel, and both men and women were baptized. So at that point, I believe that they were saved, that they had the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, and they were sealed for redemption. But it goes down verse 16 of chapter 8, and it says that the apostles had came and laid hands on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen on none of them. So is there two separate workings of the Holy Spirit?
John, I don't believe that there are two separate workings of the Holy Spirit. I think what you're seeing is the unfolding of the gospel going out to all people groups. So if you go back to Matthew chapter 16, you see a conversation that Jesus has with his disciples, and he asks, I think, the most compelling question that's ever been posed, and that's, who do you say that I am? Well, when he asked that question, Peter stood up and delivered the answer with confidence, and it was the right answer. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, that is right, and this has been revealed to you by my Father in heaven. And then he goes on and says, you are Peter, and upon this rock, meaning his confession of Jesus Christ being Lord and God, that he was going to build the church. And he handed keys to Peter to unlock that gospel message to all the people groups. And that's what the book of Acts is. So we see the first group of people that this gospel message was open to were the Jews. And that took place on the day of Pentecost. And on that day, the gift of God's Spirit was given to the Jewish people. Well, God had in mind not only the Jews, but the Samaritans and the Gentiles. So in chapter 8, we see the gospel message reaching the Samaritans, a group of people that the Jews despised. And so Peter has to go to that area and be the witness to God giving his Spirit to the Samaritans. And so
my question was, at what point did the Holy Spirit come upon them? At the point they were believed and were baptized, or at the point the apostles laid their hands on them?
At the point that Peter laid his hands on them.
So when they believed and were baptized, were they saved at that point yet?
They were saved, but they had not received God's Spirit.
Okay, so a person can be saved without having the Holy Spirit?
No, John. If you'll follow my logic here, and I think the logic of the Word of God is this, that the Jew never believed a Samaritan or a Gentile could be saved in the same way that they were saved.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm just
so
wondering about that.
So Peter had to be the one to witness the giving of God's Spirit to the Samaritans. And then he had to be the one to witness the giving of God's Spirit to the Gentiles. And we see that in Acts chapter 10. Once the gospel message was open to all people groups, at that point, anyone who received Christ immediately received the gift of God's Spirit. And Peter and the apostles could testify to that truth because they had witnessed it in all three people groups. And they could say
we're all saved
the same way. We've all received the same gift of God's Spirit.
So at the point you said they believed and they were baptized, at that point they were saved, but the Holy Spirit, they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet.
That's correct. So we can't look at that and say and come up with a doctrine that says you can receive Christ at one moment, and then a month later or 2 months later you received God's Spirit. Because that's not the way it works today.
Yeah.
We receive him all right then and there.
The reason I was asking that, too, is because in the end of John chapter 20, when he breathed on them, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then at that point, he said, go wait for the promise of the Father. And in Romans, I think it's in Romans chapter 8 as well, it says that that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, that you're none of his. So what some people were saying was that they had the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation when they put their faith in Jesus Christ, and the baptism was the outward evidence of that. But then they got filled with the Holy Spirit, as on the day of Pentecost, after the apostles, just like the apostles. So I was wondering if that was true or not. That's what I heard.
Well, Christ had said that the Spirit would be given after he ascended into heaven. Look in John chapter 7. He makes that statement. So the Spirit wasn't going to be given until he ascended. So when he ascended into heaven, the Spirit of God was given to him so that he could give to us. We see the first of that.
Okay, so when he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, then
that was preparation for what was to come after he ascended. Well, John, good question. I appreciate your call today. Thanks. Great question. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Certainly thank Paul and Melissa and Brian and John for joining us on today's broadcast. We look forward to another program tomorrow as we talk further about how the truth of God's love and grace can heal us from all the pain and sorrow and struggles that we have in day-to-day life. Yeah. The truth will set us free.
Absolutely. Friends, please keep in mind that Basic Gospel remains on the air only because of your prayers and gifts. And to express our thanks for your generous gift in any amount, we'll send you a copy of The Hurt and the Healer by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. We all hurt. We all need healing. If not today, then at some future point. But where do we find help? Well, Bart and Andrew wrote The Hurt and the Healer to show the way, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, a prominent link right on the homepage. Or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828. Billy will be glad to hear from you and to fulfill your request. The Hurt and the Healer, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And while you're online at basicgospel.net, click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list. You'll get late news and information about the ministry and upcoming events. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. And when you go online, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at basicgospelrdo. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.